this is sometime in May. I forgot the date. May 7th.
I remember
Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah, the whole state was drunk.
Will almost remembers Cinco de Mayo.
I know you were heading out Friday night. We're like, hey, where are you going? It's Cinco de Mayo. I'm like, huh?
See you Tuesday.
What yeah.
One day a year, I drink tequila and Corona.
Oh, God, it's ugly. Oh, that's exactly what that's what your liver does.
You start, hey, you do,
do that sound again. That's the actual sound your liver makes when you start partying on Cinco de Mayo.
Yesterday, I was planning on going up to work, going to the office, get some stuff done. I didn't come out of my room until like 4 in the afternoon.
Wow.
I know. Wait, no. Wait, I got you up yesterday. Well, you got up and I grabbed you and scooped you and said, okay, we need to do work. We need to take care of this thing. So we got some stuff done. Then I think you passed back out.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What did we do Friday,
Amber?
What did we do Friday, Amber? I don't remember.
I didn't do actual. I didn't do actual.
I think she went on Cinco de Mayo and I didn't go with her. Yeah. She's kind of like,
She's like, you don't want to know what.
I think we just kind of sat around the house, didn't we?
Yeah. This is Ghostly Talk and I'm Doug.
I'm swallowing. I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
Can we try that again?
All right, let's try it again. Go ahead.
Well, happy belated Cinco de Mayo, everybody. This is Ghostly Talk and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And we have a really, really active show, it looks like, today. We're going to be talking a lot about EVPs.
I'm looking at your show notes.
Yeah, well, all
they go on for 2 pages. They were stapled today and correlated.
They're stapled. They're always stapled and correlated.
They're rarely 2 pages, but yeah. This
no,
is
wait a minute. I do. Sometimes I've gone 3 or 4 pages with stuff before. No, yeah,
is awesome. This is an awesome show that you have planned.
We're really excited about it. Yeah,
I'm in awe that I get to assist doing the show.
Assist what?
This is amazing.
Well, it's gonna be a lot. At 6:30, we're gonna be having from Germany. This is like our first German guest, I think. I don't know if we've ever had anybody from Germany on before. Scorpios Androgynous. That's what he goes by. And he actually is the sole creator in this project called EVP, which we all know and love here in the paranormal community. But he is an artist when it comes to this. He uses EVPs that he's captured in his own, because he's a paranormal investigator too.
Mm-hmm.
He uses the stuff that he thinks, you know, that he thinks what it may be. He uses it in his music one way or the other. It's very cool.
Right. Well, you know, here at Ghostly Talk, we are, and I am, I think, probably the number one person, the number one fan of independent anything.
Oh, yeah.
Independent movies, independent audio bands, independent shows, independent anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything indie. And I'm for it. Even the Indy 500, even though that's not... Even though that stands for Indianapolis and not independent, I'm going to be there.
It's spelled I-N-D-Y, not I-N-D-I-E, Doug.
Okay, well, I got to change my travel plan.
Boy, that's some lowbrow slapstick right there. That was beautiful. I loved it, man. Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, I am the probably Earth's biggest fan of people getting out there and doing things and creating something and
absolutely.
And learning and sharing and growing and putting yourself on, basically, when you do a show like mm-hmm. this, you're putting yourself on display.
Oh,
when
yeah. You do, oh, God, yeah.
When you do an album, you're putting yourself on display.
Oh, yeah.
When you do, an independent movie, you're putting yourself and your talents, or lack thereof, I don't care, on display for everyone to see and everybody to laugh at or enjoy or hate or I don't care, but it hopefully brings about a reaction.
And speaking from experience, we've experienced all three of those things. Weekly.
Lately. Yeah, weekly.
It's been intense lately. It's been
lately, it's been getting like, oh my gosh, what are they coming at us with the torches?
Yeah, you know? Oh, well, hey. You know,
but but we did. We got an interesting review on the iTunes.
Oh, that cracked me up, too. That was funny.
I don't remember if it was a he or she. I think it was a she, but I'd have to go through and read it again.
I love the show, hate the music. I don't know if the word, oh, that, or...
That's the latest, the 7th review.
Okay.
Was, love the show, hate the music. And I have to say, do you know what? I understand. Mm-hmm. I completely, 100% understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because the music that we play on the show is really not for everybody. Just like this show is not for everybody.
Well, in defense of the music, here's the thing:
I'm not defending the music.
Well, what I'm saying is that myself and Will, we go out there and we send out emails all over the place and say, you know, not like we don't spam people. We just put it on bulletin boards and stuff like that and say, look, We're doing this show. Here's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have some of your music played, feel free to send us, you know, whatever kind. Let's get in touch and work it out, right? Now, if you play in a polka band, and it's,
we'll play it.
If you play in an R&B band, we'll play it. We've proven that in the past. Unfortunately, just the way it's working out is a lot of the heavy bands that they're in, and I've been saying this for so long. For some reason, heavy music and the paranormal, they've always had a happy marriage.
Just like our coming up, DVT.
Yeah. I mean, he actually is a musician in other bands that are very heavy bands. This is a side thing he does,
mm-hmm.
which is different. A lot of heavy bands are contacting us. We like their music, so we're using it. It's cool. But if you restart, okay, good.
I was going to say, if you restarted, you'd have to get back into the chat room, and then it would do the ding for everybody.
That's why I didn't do anything.
Oh. But, yeah, I have to say, what I wanted to say about that review, and I comment on reviews sometimes in the forums or whatever, but I don't make it a habit. I never take them to heart.
No.
The good ones nor the bad ones. I figure, you know, oh, good, you know, or oh, great, someone's thinking, someone's typing, you know, someone's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But this one really, what gets to me about this review is I do wish people would take the independent bands, the independent music, the independent productions, the work that people put into that, take that into consideration. Because we put a lot of work into Ghostly Talk, whether it sounds like it or not. There's a lot of time
put into this thing weekly.
Into Ghostly Talk. Oh, yeah. And sometimes it shows and sometimes it doesn't,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But these bands, they put a lot of, you know, heart and soul and effort into these. And whether it's your kind of music or not, I think you can appreciate the amount of work.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of blood, sweat, and tears that go into that stuff. And just take it, even if you only listen for 30, 40 seconds, and then hit mute or whatever for a minute and a half, and then, you know, rejoin. Take it in the spotlight from the frame of mind that somebody did this piece of work,
absolutely,
this piece of art, and try and appreciate it for what it is. And you're more than welcome to despise it. Go ahead, despise it. At least you have a feeling about it.
Yeah.
You know.
And if you but
do appreciate, please,
mm-hmm.
appreciate the independent nature of it, and appreciate the independent bands that are out there struggling and trying to get heard.
Oh yeah.
And listen to old Ghostly Talks and pay attention to the music a little bit, because I'm proud that we have a forum to spotlight independent music.
Absolutely, you know, and it's you pretty much wrapped it all up right there, Doug. I mean, and I appreciate the comments, whether they're good or bad. I think they're great either way. If somebody wants to take the time, whether it's good, you know, a negative or a positive review, whatever it may be, and voice their opinion, I think that's totally great.
Right.
I think it's totally awesome. Sometimes they're pretty funny. We all laugh, you know, but. I really appreciate the people putting their time in, putting the comments on iTunes.
Right.
On the website. I get emails all the time from people going, well, you should try this or try that.
And I do, too, and I read every single one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of them. And I try to respond when appropriate. I know the one guy, you know, oh, I'm never listening to another Ghostly Talk again. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
But please go out and listen to something. Just try and find something you like.
Yeah.
Find so you don't like Ghostly Talk. There's going to be something that you do like.
Yeah, go find it.
Go find it.
Yep.
Find any independent podcast, independent media, independent program, anything underground. Find it. Find something that you like and enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Learn, grow with that. You know, so go ahead. You know, send me hate mail. I'll just respond the same way, because that's what I feel deep, deep, deep down.
Oh, yeah. And that's the truth.
And I'm not blasting. I'm not. I don't mean to blast or call out the person who posted that to iTunes. I think, though, that when people post things to iTunes, it's a little more seen, you know, because iTunes is so huge.
What we can do to remedy that, Doug, is I think we should grow our hair. Well, I'm growing my hair out again right now. I think we should grow our hair out, though.
Mullets?
No mullets. No,
oh.
We'll get those emo cuts going. Those things.
Oh, emo cuts.
You come over like you comb over from like your right, your left
from
ear.
From your left ear all the way over, just down halfway past your brain.
You think if you're like between the age of 20 and 30, you wouldn't need to do that. But no, anyways, we can start getting, we can get ourselves more seen. Maybe that's what we need to do as far as a marketing approach for Ghostly.
A marketing approach.
We need to make ourselves more seen. We need to start wearing, like, we need to go to the Salvation Army and buy all our clothes there. Right? About four sizes too small to accentuate our nasty beer guts we have here.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And then we'll comb our hair all the way over, and then we'll, like, wear black eyeliner or something like that. And then that'll make us more, and we'll take those, like, real gothy pictures,
too. I'm going to get a tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
That says Michelin on my side, yeah. Wrapping around my side or something. What do you think?
I think it'll make us more seen. I think it'll make us more acceptable to the younger crowd.
That's true.
I think that's.
Do you know what?
If we were to hire a consulting firm, that's probably what they would tell us.
That's about what they would tell us.
That's about. Yeah, we pay them $100,000 to do that.
Yeah, but do you know what I wanted? What I think we should do?
What's that?
We should keep talking to people in the independent media crowd. Mm-hmm. We should keep talking to people in the paranormal field. Yeah. We should keep talking to people and keep learning and mm-hmm. keep interacting on our website.
Absolutely. Totally. For sure.
That's what I think we should do because I love it.
Big week coming up.
Oh.
Big
well,
week.
Well, that's our next opportunity.
Oh, man.
Our next opportunity to interact with people in the paranormal field.
Mm-hmm.
Of all walks and ages and stages of life,
mm-hmm.
is going to be at the CPRI conference in Richmond, Virginia.
Now, this week, though, what we're going to be doing, we're having two, if you've looked at the new schedule for May that went up like last weekend, you'll see that we have two, not one, like we normally do, two. Two special shows.
Harrowing week.
Yeah, it's going to be a very Tuesday and Wednesday. We're going to be having Stephen Rourke will be on this coming Tuesday, and he's from CPRI.
Yeah.
We have Dr. Sally Ryan.
Dr. Sally Ryan Feather.
I always screw it up. Feather. I always want to say fellow for some reason. Ryan Fellow. Ryan Feather is going to be coming on Wednesday night.
Oh, that's a good book character name, Ryan Fellow. I'll have to write that down or something.
We're doing this to warm up for this thing coming up this weekend. I'm going to be finding out in the next day or two when exactly we'll be broadcasting. Because we are going to be broadcasting at the first annual CPRI Paranormal Conference. We are going to be broadcasting on Saturday. I don't know exactly what time it is, though.
If it's at all possible, I'd love to get that out on Omnisound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it depends, because Omnisound is so huge, right?
Uh-huh.
And they've got
tons of shows,
schedules and stuff like that. So if at all we can squeeze into Omnisound's mm-hmm. schedule and get broadcasted on Omnisound, we can get picked up live from the conference.
Well, in worst-case scenario, like we normally do, we're going to capture the whole thing.
That's true. And we're going to podcast it.
We're going to podcast it. We're going to put it up on the site for download, all that fun stuff. It'll be the same business-as-usual stuff. But what I'll do is I will get with Bobby this week from CPRI and find out exactly what time we're going to be able to broadcast, and then I'll get with Jeff. Jeff, you're probably listening. I'll be getting a hold of you this week to see if we can work it out with a schedule so you guys can possibly listen to the show live.
Because there are some people who are going to need to know. By the way, the CPRI conference is indeed May 13th and 14th in Richmond, Virginia. If you're anywhere near there or can get there, pop in, you guys, because it's going to be absolutely insane, and we're going to be able to talk to all kinds of cool people. The guests there include Mark Nesbitt of Ghosts of Gettysburg, Dr. Sally Reinfeather, of course, who we'll all hear from in a couple of days.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Of course, the big headliners, well, we actually, you know, they're opening for us.
Are you ready to rock?
Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson of TAP.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, and we're all going to be... hopefully learning, teaching, and sharing.
It's going to be a really, really, I'm so stoked about it now. We planned this thing like 3 months ago, and I've had to sit here and bite my nails the whole time. And finally, this week is here. We're getting the plans together. We're getting the schedule set up.
You are the ultimate planner, too.
You planned
for months. You needed those.
I think I had the hotel rooms booked back in 2005 or something like that. But we're ready to go, man. We're going to be happening. It's going to be a lot of fun.
But Ghostly Talk, of course, is broadcast live on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. from the haunted Warren Winery in beautiful Warren, Michigan.
Beautiful today.
Beautiful today, anyway. Just north of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
We're also broadcast on Pioneer Radio, which, mm-hmm. of course, is our home station at pioneer.rollo.net.
Omnisound Radio 1.
Incredible Omnisound Radio 1.
Oh, yeah.
We've been broadcast in perpetuity, I think, since our beginning on the absolutely insanely cool Radio New York International at 11L-RNI.com.
Mm-hmm. Also, we're on with our boys from KWTF, The Edge, the classic metal show. Those guys are absolutely wonderful to us all the time. Thank you very much.
Riff Raff Radio, of course.
Oh, yeah, the .99.1 FM.
The Butt Broadcasting Group broadcasts us as well.
Robin Valley Community Radio. Hi, Scott.
still one of my, Omaha, Nebraska. There you go.
Yeah, what's that?
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to permanently write that in ink on the back of my eyelid. And I'm going to have to get out there one of these days. I'd love to meet them. ADD Underground, that's Slackin' Radio.
The hotties at Catnip Radio.
I wonder if they've ever heard that.
I haven't gotten it. Yeah. Meow. Meow.
Bazoo, BZOO, Homegrown Radio.
Blogging Service.
And, of course, Radio Enigma.
Yeah, there's probably a host of other people. We're trying to get the word out there. If you do know of another website or radio station or somebody that's, you know, if you are doing it yourself, please let us know. All we want, we don't want to, like, get you for, like, royalty rights or something like that.
We don't do that.
No, we just want to, like, put your banner up on the site and acknowledge that, hey, thank you for helping us out. We appreciate it. So that's very important. If you know anybody, just let us know. It's a really important thing to us, mainly. More or less this week is going to be completely insane. We're going to be running ourselves ragged up until Friday, where we leave at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, how's that going to work? You guys, this is what you're hearing now is actual...
We don't planning
stages of us going to a paranormal conference.
Well, we were talking. What time were we going to leave out? We were talking about.
We haven't been to an actual paranormal conference other than the Mothman Festival,
We've been down to Indiana Ghost Trackers things with the classes and stuff.
That's true. We went to their training day.
Went to GLPR's their first annual paranormal picnic last year, which was very cool. Get to hang out with everybody and talk.
Ambrose, when's the second? We don't know?
She don't know yet.
Okay.
They're working on it. We're in the planning stages. Oh, my God. She just opened the...
I hope it's not on a Tuesday.
No.
I'm melting!
We had it pitch dark in here, you guys.
It was really nice in here. Now
it's the opposite.
Yeah, the lights are all up and stuff. We're going to have to leave out early on Friday, I think. We're going to have to leave out real early. It's about a 10-hour drive here from Detroit to get down to Virginia. We figured it out as far as the mileage goes, roughly, and it's going to be about a 10-hour, I wish it was a 10-mile drive. It's going to be about a 10-hour drive for us to get from here to there. So,
and as you know, our drives are always interesting.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know how it's going
to
go.
All a fresh MP3 CD of funny stuff to listen to, too.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Maybe I should just give you the iPod and have you just download it to the iPod?
Maybe. Want me to.
30 gigs worth. What do you think?
You gonna bring that thing with you?
Do you think we can make Bonnie laugh so hard that she has to pull over?
Oh, she's not driving.
She's not?
Not if we're playing that stuff. No.
Oh.
We'll have her drive through the mountains and then we'll play it.
Okay. All right.
Am I gonna get stuck in the driver's wheel? Is it gonna be
me? I'll drive for a while.
All right.
I'll drive in the beginning.
All right. Yeah, what the hell is this? You never drive.
I know, I never drive.
Why don't
Nobody's
you drive?
Ever asked me to, so I just haven't. This has worked out that way.
Well, it might work out different this time.
When I had the death score, I offered to drive every single time, and every single time everyone's like, no, we think we're all going to pile in the humongous Durango.
Well, yeah, you know, and while I am the biggest, fan of conserving as much gas as possible... Stuffing four people in the death escort back in the day was like, it was like a clown car. You didn't open the door. You didn't open the door. You just kind of like blew out of the thing when the car stopped. The doors finally buckled and you came out. Right?
I wonder if that thing's still alive. I should message Dave and see how that's going. If it finally gave up the ghost yet or not. It's supposedly in Florida somewhere. So
is it in Florida?
Yeah.
What's it doing? How did it get down to Florida? Did they, ship it down there?
No, he drove it to Florida.
It was driven to Florida.
3 weeks
Did they at least change the oil in the thing?
I hope so.
Because last time I saw the oil, it was, pitch black in the car. It was, black as night. You could not even see through it. It was that bad.
I changed it once.
The car was, 15 years old, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I had it for about 5. Changed it once.
All right.
I loved that car.
Well, we'll be getting down there Friday night, though, to the CPRI conference. We're going to be hanging out down there. And then Saturday is when all the festivities start, more or less. We'll all be hanging out. We're looking forward to that. Hopefully, we'll see some of you guys down there. And if you do, we're going to have, our booth set up. We're actually getting official now. We have, banners and, dancing girls and stuff like that around us. And
right.
Stuff like that to attract attention. So you'll see.
We're not enough.
Yeah, we're not enough. So you'll see our setup, though. I think it'll be pretty hard not to see us. you know, on Saturday when we're broadcasting the show. And we will be speaking.
I heard our colors are pink and orange. We're wearing
that's the new color.
Absolute, yeah.
Yeah, that's the new color of the banner. Too.
Loudest colors ever.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be just like a big screaming, like fluorescent green banner with fluorescent orange text and
excellent,
stuff like that.
Excellent. That's what it was. Fluorescent green and fluorescent orange. It'll be great.
I tell you what, why don't we take an early break here? Because we are going to be calling Germany, and I don't know how complicated this is going to be if I have to, like, talk to 400 people.
Yeah, the first one's kind of short. Can we put a different one?
Yeah, go ahead and do it. Yeah, go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Wait, you know what? Don't do that.
Okay.
Play the first one. I'll tell you why. Later. Much later. Like, next year sometime, I'll tell you.
Oh, wow. I like this. This is great planning.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back with EVP artist, EVP.
From the Paranormal Research Center of New England. I hope you guys enjoy listening to Ghostly Talk. These guys are great. Have a lot of fun with them doing their show. And feel free to contact them if you ever need anything. And feel free to contact me if you ever need anything. Be willing to share experiences and talk about things. And like I said, listen to my buddies here at Ghostly Talk.
Cremo, author of Forbidden Archaeology. My website is mcremo.com, mcremo.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk. Thank you.
created in 2002 by Scorpios Androxenus. Their website is www.projectevp.com. The project was created from a strong inspiration of electronic voice phenomena, paranormal phenomena, and necromancy divination, both of Scorpius' personal experiences and of some of the more documented occurrences which have been commonly observed as paranormal activity.
Musically, EVP began with a strong electronic sound using loud and harsh rhythms, simple layered sequences, and manipulated samples of known and supposed EVP recordings made from various haunted locations. A strong development has been made throughout the new material, which was recorded within 2005, establishing the music of EVP into ethereal and ritualistic soundscapes, blending ambient undertones with minimalist neoclassical passages, reminiscent of film scores of darker nature blended with ominous sounds fitting to a nightmare to some or another world journey for others. So on that, I'd like to welcome Scorpios
Androxenus.
I screwed up in the first segment. I'd like to welcome Scorpios to the show. How are you doing tonight, Scorpios?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Now, I've been familiar with your stuff for a while, and we kind of bumped heads one day, and I said, this is a really interesting stuff that you're working on. I've listened to a ton of your music, and you do work these samples and stuff like EVP, EVP stuff that's been captured into your music, along with all kinds of wild stuff. Where did you get the idea to do this?
It's been a few years. Probably like 3 or 4 years ago that someone introduced me to EVP. It was a new thing to me. It was before the whole White Noise movie came out and it got popular, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And before that, I heard it, and it was just like, you have to check this out. It's called EVP, and they explained what it was, and I listened to it, and some of it was like, okay, sounds like noise and playing a Ozzy Osbourne record backwards, and you can pick out some sounds, but some of them just gave chills down my spine.
Mm-hmm.
They were, it's not a voice that, even if you look at it on a computer and see the equalizer and everything, those frequencies just don't pick up. And that kind of blew me away, so I was immediately interested in it.
Well, I know that, you just made a very interesting comment when you do, especially with today's, the technology is growing exponentially, we know that. And this really hard to get software like 5 years ago, now you can pretty much download it for free on the internet if you want. And what you can do is the thing that's made this such an easy thing to work on, an interesting thing to work on, is we've taken the audio realm to a visual realm now, where you can actually, like you say, look at the sound samples, and like you said, the big thing with EVP is a lot of times you have to really, really listen to hear things in the audio. It isn't always going to pop out to you, but with this visual standpoint we have now, it does make this field, the craft, so to say, a little bit more accessible, a little bit more easier to work on. It makes it a lot more interesting, too.
Yeah, it also it filters out a little bit, because there's background noise, of course. You can.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've done it myself. I've made recordings for EVPs, and I'll go, wait a minute, I heard something there, and you monitor it a bit. If you control the experiment a little bit, you'll realize, well, that was just me slipping on the floor or coughing in the background or something like that. There's just some frequencies that there's no reason for a voice behind it.
Oh, yeah. And we spent a whole
afternoon. Analyze the EQ. It's paranormal. It's unexplainable. But I think the biggest thing is when you do it for yourself and you experience it yourself and you know for yourself, there's no one around to make that noise that was on the recording. It's hard to prove to other people, and that was never my goal to do. I'm not like a paranormal investigator. I'm not trying to prove anything. I do things for myself. So something happens like that, it's inspiring.
Absolutely, and I know there's the few things that we've gotten here as paranormal investigators ourselves. They blow you away. We spent a whole afternoon here, for example, Scorpios, trying to figure from last weekend at your brother's house. Though.
Why is it different
when
you capture it or you're physically present and then somebody plays it back or you play it back and you get this voice and it just like is like so chilling and so, oh my gosh, because I was there and everything. And then, but yet there's some, it has this amount of, it's not credibility, because I believe there's a lot of people capturing some really convincing and interesting stuff. But, I mean, there's a different level that something you've captured or you were present on or present for There's a different that those EVPs are on a different level than the ones that you just download off the internet and someone tells you the story. And I wonder why that is, because what I'd like to do is I'd like to try and get it so that people can listen to an EVP and get those that same feeling, even if it wasn't one of theirs, but get that same feeling in their stomach of ooh.
I think I know what you mean. Yeah, it's the same thing for me. I've downloaded countless EVPs on the internet to listen to, and there's just some that give me it's this chill you get. Every time I've experienced anything that's slightly paranormal, there's this chill that comes along with it. It's hard to explain, but I think most people know what I'm talking about that have ever experienced anything like that. And it's really hard to tell. I mean, I could probably, with my recording equipment, set up stuff to make a fake EVP and convince a lot of people it's real.
Oh, yeah, that's been done before. We know that.
Yeah, I'm sure I've used samples from it that just sounded great. Probably a fake one, but that's besides the point. It's just, there's something there that just, it's hard to explain.
See, because memorable to me are, of course, the ones that I was present for. You know, the girl
yeah.
at the Nessie Collings Bridge, and the guy who wanted quarters and pancakes at the cemetery. Those two are the ones I was present for, and that those just absolutely make my skin crawl with eeriness, right? Because I was
mm-hmm.
there, and you know. Other than that, the ones that really stand out in my mind are some that one was they were investigating a haunted theater, and I think this was Richard of ghosttoghost.org, and they were investigating a haunted theater or something, and they opened a door. They heard absolutely nothing, but later on the tape, when they opened the door, it sounded like there was a party going on. I mean, there was racket. It was insane. And, of course, they had heard nothing when they poked their head in the door to this, what was it, a closet or something?
Yeah,
it was
like
dark,
that.
And they're like, we're not going in there. and then also the chains. Do you remember the ones with the chains and
that
them
was,
speaking in French?
That was from our friends at AAVP.
The folks at
AAVP. And they actually, you could hear the chains crack, the chains, you know.
Of a drawbridge.
Yeah, of a drawbridge.
And you heard the guards talking, but of course, that must
there was
have
nothing
happened
there. They said they
200 years ago. Yeah.
They planned every quarter, and there's nothing there now, and all of a sudden you pick up these weird sounds.
Those send chills down my spine.
But your question originally, Doug, and I think that Scorpios can help us with this too, I think we can all help each other here, is, you know, what makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck when you hear these things? My opinion has always been that we're talking about the unknown here, and anytime we get into the unknown, obviously, you're always going to get a bit of nervousness and uneasiness about you, because it's the unknown. It's being called an unknown for a reason. We can't figure it out. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Scorpius.
It's like a placebo effect in some matters. I mean, as soon as there's something questionable, and especially when you're starting to go into subjects like paranormal, a ghost, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, the slightest little things can trigger it. I've scared the crap out of myself with the most ridiculous things. Just experimenting within the house here. We have a chandelier, like a candle holder chandelier.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working with a Ouija board, just trying different experiments here.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down and my friend just said, look at the chandelier, it's moving. It was shaking back and forth, and that gave me a chill.
Mm-hmm.
The same kind of chill, you know. But I sat there and thought, and I bumped my head on that a few minutes ago, so it made it move. But the mind's a tricky subject.
Well, that's the last few weeks we've had so many people on. And one of the main subjects we've been getting into with people is this psychosis thing that people get into. Now, you just said right there, for example, Scorpios, the chandelier is moving. It can be moved, I imagine, relatively easy if you just bump it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It should, you know, that's something that really wouldn't, excuse me, in a normal situation that really wouldn't freak anybody out. So I just moved this thing. I bumped it on my head or something like that. But now you're in the middle of this situation where you're doing an experiment.
Yes.
You have a Ouija board or whatever you may have out there. You know, you're meditating or doing whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Whatever you're trying to do this thing. And all of a sudden, these little things, and it makes you very hyperactive to your environment around you, it sounds like. That's what I've been getting
at. Yeah, and if you get a group involved in that, it just adds to it. It's like a mob mentality almost. It's pretty crazy. I mean, I've gotten in touch with a lot of paranormal groups, and you have to take some of them with a grain of salt, you know. It's pretty weird because I'll send them a picture, like, check this out, and Mm-hmm. All of a sudden they're just, oh, this is, yeah, it's definitely haunted. It's definitely a ghost. And it's like, how do you know that?
Well.
I could be just tricking you guys or whatever. I could have just been stupid enough to, like, hold a cigarette and take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a happy medium. You got to, you know, there's a severe skeptics, and then there's the people that just are dying to find something and believe something. And, I mean, I try to just keep that happy medium.
Well, I think that's...
I don't know what's out there. It's paranormal. No one knows, so...
Well, yeah, and that's the trick to it, I think. That's what we've learned also, Scorpios.
It's a healthy outlook.
Yeah, you need a healthy... You need an objective outlook on things. You know, we sat here for... Like I was saying a minute ago, we sat here this afternoon with those tapes from your brother's house, Doug, for example. And we were just... It was great because, you know, Keith and Johnny, you know, who we work with every once in a while on stuff, they're absolutely down-to-earth, level-headed guys. And they said, listen to this sound. What do you think about this? I'm like, well, you know what? We're going to have a real problem with this, for example. Like what I'm saying here is we were talking downstairs, so the mics were picking that stuff up. So the weird sounds that were sticking out, I'm like, it sounds like it's coming from the basement, honestly. I mean, from the lower level we were at. I don't think that really is anything too, you know, anything paranormal or anomalous in nature. There are some people that they hit the... I know that, unfortunately, there's people out there. These may be people that are new to the field that, you know, they need some more experience. I mean, I know the first...
Then you have to get... You have to go through all that stuff in order to be able to discern these different things.
Yeah, yeah. It takes... You have
to...
Yeah,
that's true.
You have to just go through repetition. You have to hear things over and over again, and then you will develop the brain stems, let's say, to these things where you'll be able to pick out the real ones from maybe the ones that aren't so real, let's just say. I know exactly what you're saying, Scorpio. So it's frustrating sometimes. It's nice
to be... It is, yeah. I mean, it doesn't keep me back from what I'm interested in what I do, but it just like the whole paranormal scene just started to really spark and grow and get really popular in the last few years, I think. So of course there's going to be a lot of people that, you know, they find a quick hobby to get into, and they'll probably not be into it for a few years afterwards. But
well, it's like that. I mean, that's an interesting question I'd like to ask you, Scorpios. Is you're in Germany, obviously, right? Because we thought maybe it may have just been the States here that, you know, they're because we've noticed the same thing. We've been saying it for a long time here, that we are on this upswing. And then when all the media started grabbing things and all these shows came out, it seemed to grow exponentially, right? Are you guys experiencing that same you know, upswing in Germany also with paranormal investigation groups and whatnot?
No, not as big, I don't think. I mean, I keep up with the TV and what goes on in the States. I'm American by birth, so... I'm still in touch with a lot of people over there. It's a bigger scene over there than it is over here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of paranormal investigators out here, and it's, you know, it's a topic that's studied all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
It seems more of a trend in the U.S. than it is elsewhere.
So we were right then.
Pretty much, yeah. I was trying to put it nicely.
But we do have a lot of listeners throughout many, many countries.
Yeah, that's listeners are great. It's just when people just, you know, if they listen for a little while and go, I can do that too. And
I hope so.
That's great, and I really encourage that. But it, like I'm saying, there's just a happy medium to it where, you know, you have to look at both sides. You have to be skeptic, and if you're too skeptic, yeah, that's not too good either. But
the bottom line really is it is a healthy medium between the two, I think. You have to keep your mind open, but you also have to keep your feet on the ground. We've been preaching that for a long time here. Not every little thing that pops up in front of the camera that doesn't look like it belongs there is going to necessarily be an anomalous thing. It could very easily, there are a lot of things to explain. I love getting emails from people, for example, where, like, for example, last weekend we threw that audio up from last weekend from your brother's house.
Right.
I got a bunch of emails from people going, okay, is there a mirror in the attic? I think there might have been birds hitting the mirror. And I'm like, whoa, that's a great idea that makes that sound. Okay, then that's people thinking out there. I think that's really, really cool to see people doing that. And then these are people going, and they, at the same time, these people are going, you know, hey, it may be something weird, but here's some ideas. What do you think, right? I'm not slamming you either way. And I know this the middle-of-the-road thing, some people don't like that. You either got to go one way or the other. But in this stuff, there's so many gray areas, it just seems to make more sense that you need to keep your feet on the ground and also keep your mind open.
Well, obviously. I mean, there's gray areas because if there wasn't a gray area, there would be someone really rich because they have this awesome footage of paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm.
There's people trying that for years now, and it's probably not happening for a reason, I would assume. I don't know. But I mean, it happens, obviously. I've had personal experiences, and they happened. I'm pretty sure they happened. It could be explainable for other reasons, but I have no way to explain it, to prove it to other people that it happens. And that's how it usually happens to people. It happens when you're off guard, and there's just no way to document it. Even if you do get it on video, there's going to be a ton of people just saying, well, you could have had a string pulling that object to move or whatever.
And there very well may have been. And, you know, that's an interesting comment you make, because you said this earlier, Scorpios, is that I know the experiences we've had together doing this radio show out there in the field doing things, we can't prove anything to anybody that it's 100% proof of that, you know, that the Edna C. Conlings Bridge has a little girl on there that haunts that bridge. I can't prove that. None of us can prove that. But we experienced something there that it's been carrying over for the better part of 2 years now.
That's what it did for me. It took one thing like that that just blew me away. I was pretty skeptical. It's hard for me to believe something I don't see and experience. That's just how I am. And when I did, it was even harder to talk about it with other people, because it kind of sounds crazy after a while.
Well, yeah.
And no matter how, you know, you can swear up and down you were not smoking the magic dragon or whatever, you know, but you... It sounds pretty odd when someone comes up to you and says something like, well, last night I saw a UFO in the sky, or the other day my dead grandmother came and talked to me, something like that. That's just, I believe it can happen, but...
Oh, yeah, and that's...
If someone I knew told me that, and I knew him really well, I'd still question it.
Well, yeah, that's what you
mean. When it happens to myself, I question it, and there's some things that I've been questioning for years. But after a while, it's just like, wow, there's not really any other explanation for it. So it makes you kind of wonder.
Well, that's the truth. But that's the inspiration, though, behind EVP, though. And that
exactly.
From your personal experiences that you've had with this, you decide to take this to the next level and make it into, your own art form, which I think is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, and a while back, I remember listening to a show you had. I cannot remember the guest's name, but they were talking about ghost baiting.
Ghost baiting. Guys, anybody?
Baiting, basically, is a terminology they use to bring up an EVP. They were playing music from the era.
Oh, that was a while back. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who that was. Does anybody remember? That I know exactly. They would play music. They would try all kinds of wild things that they thought might be a characteristic of the environment. We've tried that, too. We tried that in Gettysburg.
Sounds like a really good idea. I mean, I think that's what it takes. There's just creative ideas to try something different instead of just running around with an EMF detector or a camera. Cameras obviously don't work too well unless you want to pick up orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's a unknown field.
Hey,
there's a lot of things that haven't been tried.
Sean Burris wants to know if, and he, of course, is our Indianapolis area guru. He wants to know, because you did mention Ouija boards. Do you think that use of them might increase the chances of catching an EVP?
I think so, in a way. I think just paying attention, just being aware it's like people. If you're not really listening to someone talking, they're not going to be very open to trying to talk to you. They're not going to spill out their guts. And for something, if it's from the other side, if it's a spirit, whatever you want to call it, it probably takes them a bit of energy to express something to you. So, I mean, if I was a ghost, put it that way, and I saw a room full of people using a Ouija board trying to talk to something that wasn't there, I'd say, well, that would be the best person to talk to. And that's just a theory of mine, but
I think
the more energy that's put into it, it helps it out, because... If you look at the dream state, people are in an astral projection. It's a whole belief system, but there's the hypnagogic state and there's the hypnopompic state.
Mm-hmm.
In between sleep, and usually people in that state have weird hallucinations,
mm-hmm.
weird experiences. They wake up seeing someone standing over their bedside,
mm-hmm.
and it opens up a gate. That's a weird way to put it. It's a new age way to put it, I guess. But I think there's some validity to it.
Well, I know Doug's done. Doug, you've done some experimenting with astral projection yourself.
Oh yeah.
And
also Ouija boards, which will probably get me in a lot of trouble here in the United States. I don't know how it is over in Europe, but in the United States, Ouija boards are a huge no-no.
Yes, it's the same everywhere. They're just bad, and that's right. What always tripped me out about them. I had to ask people, like, what was so bad about the Ouija board you used? You know, and it's usually like, well, I used a Ouija board, and 2 weeks later, my dog got hit by a car or something like that. So it's probably more subconscious. And then there's the power of the subconscious mind. It's if you think something's bad, something's bad is going to happen. Chances are it might.
Right, you could do something to cause it to happen. That's the same thing with the time travel theories. But the thing is everybody always talks about how bad the Ouija boards are, and there are indeed some good things that have come out of them. And people never, ever talk about that. You know, I mean, one of the things that I grew up on, one of the first things I was introduced to the paranormal realms with was Seth and the books that Seth wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Jane Roberts and her husband, when they lived, I think they lived in Ontario,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken, though. But anyway, they started experimenting with this Ouija board, and then, you know, they contacted this entity named Seth, and then, of course, eventually Jane could predict what he was going to say, and then since she just started channeling him, and he started saying, okay, take this down, because we're writing a book. And boom, you know, all these huge, huge, magnificent books were written by Seth through Jane Roberts.
Mm.
And that's just incredible stuff. That's an incredible art form, and it doesn't matter to me if Seth was an external entity or if it was part of her mind and consciousness. Mm. I still think it's magnificent stuff. And
oh, yeah.
I agree.
And that came out of a Ouija board.
I don't use a Ouija board ritual like every day, you know. It's something I take with a grain of salt like everything else.
Mm.
Same with recording for EVPs, but I have used them where strange things happen. You know, I try to do it in a more of a controlled way where we will sit down in a group of usually like two or three people, three or four people, who knows, and we'll plan it out. Okay, we're going to start with questions that are simple, like yes or no, and that we all know the answer to, and then we'll start with like simple questions that no one knows, like how many coins are sitting on the table that we can't see, something like that. And then ask about things like time and numbers are usually, you know, usually it just doesn't even move.
You're going,
who's moving it? All right.
Yeah.
But when it starts to move, then it starts to really kind of get weird because I always do it with people I can trust that I'm pretty sure aren't ready to just make a prank or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it starts to move and answer questions, which is pretty rare, sometimes it gets interesting and, you know, I've asked specific questions like what time will it say on my watch when this will happen or whatever, and there's been not that many, but a few times where it just happens right on, where the chances of coincidence are just they're kind of, it's pretty weird. And then you got to think it could be just the subconscious. The mind's a powerful thing.
Well, that's what we've been hearing a lot about lately, you know, especially on the show, is, like I said before, there's a lot of people that are saying, look, you know, we can explain this stuff. It's in your mind. We can explain it. It's perfectly explainable. There's people we've had on the show recently who just said, look, we have here's the proof, here's the evidence, here's how it works. We just need some more money to put it together and more or less just get it all down in black and white for people. But this is pretty much the idea. I don't know. I don't know if I have anything to have an opinion on that, to be honest with you, but there is that mind element. I tell people, we say all the time here, if you want to see ghosts, I'll be more than happy to show them to you. You will see ghosts if I want you to see ghosts. We'll just take you somewhere and give you the big story, and that's, you know.
Bloody Mary. Take someone in the closet, make them spin around 10 times until they're dizzy, they're going to get scared.
Well, that's a different take on Bloody Mary than I've heard.
That was what I learned when I grew up, and then the movie came out, and I saw it, unfortunately, and, yeah.
You heard, if you go in the closet, spin around 10 times...
Something along those lines. Yeah, you have to go in a dark room, a bathroom or whatever. Usually, you know, your kids have at a slumber party or something. You go into a dark room, usually it's a bathroom or a closet, and spin around 10 times and say Bloody Mary 3 times and look in the mirror.
Right.
And, yeah, well, if you close your eyes really tight for a long time, then open them where there's any chance of light,
you're going to see all kinds of
cones and rods. They're going to probably look pretty weird.
All kinds of wacky stuff.
Yeah. That brings me to another topic. It's if you look back in history, like into shamanism,
mm-hmm.
these are people, and it would not hold any high points into modern-day paranormal research, but, I mean, there's shamans in old times. They traveled to the other side, and they used hallucinogens to do it. They used mushrooms or peyote or whatever. And, you know, of course, if someone takes some mind-altering substance and comes back and goes, yeah, I saw ghosts, and you're going to go, yeah, I bet you saw a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much a given nowadays. I mean, people that do, I mean, especially with a lot of those beliefs and practices, there is a use of hallucinogenics and stuff like that. And there's all types of different opinions on that. Well, it opens your mind.
It's an altered state. That's the thing that really makes me interested. It's altering your perception.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I see it, anything like a ghost or something like that, it doesn't exist on the same dimension that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it has its own ways to come across, to present itself. And some people can see it, some people can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem I have with hallucinogens and things like that is that, yeah, it puts you into an altered state, but it also, I think, and I'm not a doctor, I don't know this for a fact, but I do believe, that it also messes with your cognitive abilities, your critical thinking.
Yeah.
And because your critical thinking could be altered, you can't trust anything, you know, that you get while in
that
state.
That's what makes it really interesting to use that in a controlled experiment. So there's
right.
one person that uses something like that and other people to witness it and say, no, there wasn't a ghost floating in front of your head. It's just high.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But that's something to consider, really. It's pretty, I have done some experience with people that, where there was one person that used, I've spent some time with some Native Americans, and they used peyote in their
mm-hmm.
reservations, and we tried it with one, and it was pretty phenomenal.
Wow.
I was blown away.
In the great words of Bill Hicks, your third eye was very well squeegeed clean, probably, it sounds like. There's one thing
I was completely sober. I didn't partake in it, but
mm-hmm.
From what he told and said, it was pretty weird. It was pretty agreeable. It was a group of five people.
Mm-hmm. There's one other thing, too, that you were working on. I know we talked about maybe talking about this. You are into this thing. I don't even know how to term this. It's called bone sculpting. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right.
What?
It's,
I gotta hear about this.
Just making, it's basically sculptures out of bones and deceased matter.
Mm-hmm. I saw.
I mean, there's a lot of beliefs and things that you come in contact with a lot. They're gonna carry on to the afterward. That's why there's haunted objects.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's, you know, it's a part of your body. It carries on to the afterlife.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen some of the work you've done with this, and to put it lightly, it's very interesting. And you're basically, like you said, you take bones in a deceased manner, and you make artwork out of this also, sculptures of some sorts.
Mm-hmm.
That's really amazing. That's something new I've never even heard. Have you heard about that before, Doug?
No, I wouldn't have a stomach for that. I can
look at a few people that do it. I mean, it's been done for a while. There's monks. The Catholics have done the most morbid crap that's been around, really.
You know what? Come to think of it, I have seen stuff done in, you know, Catholic churches that have used bone matter and things like that.
Yeah, there's a church in Sedlec in the Czech Republic that's the whole church, the inside, sculpted out of human bones. They made a chandelier, an altar, everything you can imagine out of all human bones and skulls.
I don't want to go there.
I just think
it's nice. You can look it up on the net and you can find nice pictures. But to me, it's much better than a tombstone or urn of ashes.
Mm-hmm. I come to think of it, I do know. I mean, I think this is the first time I've ever really seen it put in it, like, you know, put given a title of some sort. That's why I wasn't too sure about that. But there are places around there that do use this type of bone sculpting. Unfortunately, Scopers, we got to run. We're at the top of the hour. But, hey, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Keep up.
Yeah, it's no problem. Glad to be here.
And keep up the great work, yeah.
Your website, of course, is www.projectevp.com.
Check it out. There's a bunch of stuff to download on there. I know you can download music on your MySpace page also. What's the URL for your MySpace page also?
It's Talk to the Dead.
Talk to the Dead. Yeah.
Talk to the Dead.
Yeah, myspace.com/talktothedead. Check it out. Download some music. Thank you again for coming on the show, Scorpios.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Take it easy.
Scorpios.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Interesting
Amazing.
Stuff.
Interesting Very
stuff.
Interesting,
interesting
stuff.
You know, and he's a very and Scorpios. You know, he's somebody who's he's an experimenter. He doesn't. It sounds like he doesn't really title himself as a paranormal investigator, but
he does experiment.
He does experiment.
So he's a paranormal
like
experimenter.
Yeah. So that's,
I want more of that to go on too.
Absolutely. When we do that, I want to take a quick break here. Coming up, we have Philip Gardner, and we're gonna this is an hour we're gonna be talking about some weird stuff. With the coming of the new film that we all know and love, starring, God, do I have to say the T word?
So we do. So we do. Coming up after this break is going to be more with, more Ghostly Talk with, we're going to bring on Philip Gardner. So.